Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Alkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. And now Joel, let's start off broadly looking at the U.S. equity markets. The markets are showing some weakness this week so far, Monday, Tuesday. We are seeing down days. It's not a waterfall decline. We're not even close to circuit breakers, but are you at least a little concerned that this correction, at least right now, that is very short term, could be the start of a bigger sell-off here for the markets?
Boy, oh boy, Coy, thanks for having me, and glad to be back after a two-week hiatus. I hope everyone's not mad at me, what I said about gold last time. Gold
Don't
rally.
Worry, we'll get into that, Joel.
It cleared 1750. I mean, I guess I have to tell you I was on vacation. I guess I got to tell you the guy at the pool story. And this equates to the taxi driver and everything. I was at the pool on my vacation on Wednesday, and an old elderly gentleman, he said, "Why is the market down today?" And I hadn't been looking at the markets too much. I pull out my phone. The S&Ps are like down 10 points or something. And I'm like, "This is down? I mean, have you been watching the market over the last 14 months? He goes, "Oh, well, I got some weekly calls in the spider, and they were in the money this morning, and now they're out of the money." And I'm like, wait till tomorrow, wait till Friday, the market will go back up, you know? And so there's just such an expectation that the market's going to go up every single day, and you're going to get these outrageous returns that these corrections are good. I mean, this is not even a correction. This is nothing. So people that are calling, "Oh, this is a big turn, the market's going into major correction." What I will say is that, you know, my weekly analysis that I do, we are trading below some weekly levels that are giving me some short setups, but I can't tell you how many weeks in a row that we never even saw my weekly swing levels, that they never even came into the picture. So, you know, I take things on a week-by-week basis, a month-by-month basis for a portfolio. And am I headed for the exits on this? No. I mean, volatility is still, it's ramping up a little bit. But you're not going to get a big correction until you really see the volatility. And I don't, you know, people like to follow the VIX. I like to follow the average daily ranges in the S&Ps. And it's gone from, I've seen it go from 13 or 14 points a day up to 200, right? During the March meltdown. And now they're back to 35. Okay, so that's been the trend. So as long as those average daily ranges, you know, can stay in check, then we're okay. It's when you start having, I mean, today's a little bit more volatile of the day. So things are ramping up. But, and once again, I'll go to my old go-to. If this is, what is your investing time and horizon? If you're listening to this show and you're 85 years old and you've been hanging on to this market and waiting for higher and higher prices, then you got to take a hard look in the mirror because, you know, returns, the unbelievable returns over the last 14 months. Will it happen again? Maybe. But boy, oh boy, just be careful where you're at, what your goals are, what you want to do with your money. You should be really seriously evaluating it based on your age.
So, Joel, what about this concept of this everything bubble? I feel like we've heard it for a while now, but over the last, I don't know, 7-8 months, when it seemed like every sector was moving higher and money was just rotating from one to the other and everyone was making money, except if you're in some of the safe assets. Do you subscribe to that theory that this just is simply an everything bubble?
I want to sell everything in my house and is it nailed down? I want to sell my house. I want to sell another piece of property I own. I want to sell coins. I want to, not this month, not my stocks, not my investments, but any, I mean, this, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe Bitcoin's going to go to 110,000. You know, maybe doggy coins actually going to go to a dollar. I don't know. But just something tells me that there's just so much speculation in real estate, in baseball cards, in magazines, everything. I mean, I know I don't always know when to buy, but I have a pretty good feeling when to sell. And I, you know, NFTs, Jack Dorsey's Twitter going for $2.5 million. And I don't know if I can say this on the show, but you can cut it out. A guy in New York, you know, sold his external gases that he collected over a year or something for $85. I mean, it's craziness. So I it's a bubble, and I don't, the market is the market, but man, real estate, I've got buddies that are trying to buy property in Canada. He put an offer on a property. There are 11 other offers on the property. So got to be careful, man. These are speculative periods, and you know, excessive speculation, usually it comes to roost, and a lot of people aren't happy.
So elaborate on your call a little bit more there, Joel, that you want to sell everything that's not nailed down in your house, and you want to sell your house, but you don't want to sell your stocks.
Yeah, because my wife won't let me.
Okay. All right. So you do want to sell your stocks too. But then the
question, there's some I want to sell.
What do you do with all this money then, if you do sell everything?
Oh, put it under my mattress. No, actually, you know, through some, you know, investment managers that I have, there are some structured products out there that I could bring in 3, 4, 5, 6% with limited downside risk. And I haven't, you know, my goals have not been that much over that. I've been investing for a long time. So, man, I don't know, utilities because if interest rates go up, but just there are conservative investments out there. So with the excess cash, my house, obviously, my wife, we got to have somewhere to live, you know, property I've been sitting on, those are different things. But I mean, I do have cash to put to work, you know, from, you know, my year end taxes. I don't know where to put it. I mean, a lot of times I just do simple indexing. I can't index yes. I just don't feel comfortable after the run we had putting more money to work in the indexes at these levels. So I know cash is trash, but there are conservative investments out there, some structured products that, you know, you can eke out some return. And I mean, AT&T. I mean, if you don't think AT&T is going to default on other debt, I mean, 6-7%, I mean, why not? You know, there are some stocks out there, but I mean, I wouldn't be buying anything high PE, but you've asked me what I'm buying. I'd buy, you know, Apple or Microsoft or Amazon or Google or Facebook or something if I was forced to it. But I think people just have to temper what their returns are going to be in the markets.
It's all about speculation. It's all about optimism, though, isn't it? So if this money just continues to land in people's bank accounts, and I guess if they just continue to look at these markets, then that dissipates, maybe not eliminates, but dissipates the potential of another just waterfall decline?
I think the only, there's two things that would set really like spook me as far as selling stocks. And that would be, you know, a huge wave of the virus. And the second would be a war. And, you know, I hope I'm not being too crazy here, but, you know, if I was China, if I was another, I would have attacked the United States during this crisis because we were weak and now we've regained our composure. So barring a war, and I know wars could be good for some aspects of the economy, but barring a war or another rage, you know, in the virus, you know, I can't get extremely bearish. I will say from my observations, I'm on vacation and I wish I would have traded my observations on the airline stocks when I was gone. I mean, there were people in the airport, but there were not a lot of people on my Delta Airlines flight. So I think there's really some caution here on the reopening trades. If you've been successful in the, you know, UAL, they lost $7.50 a share. Woohoo! Wow, that's great. $7.50 a share. I mean, if I ran a company and I reported, I mean, it's that's just staggering losses. And I do see things returning back to normal. but I don't see it going back to normal for a long time. Sporting events, college football games, basketball games, movie theaters, the theater district in New York, thanks for coming back. But I think the reopening trade got way, way ahead of itself. So that would be an area if I was investing in those stock. Carnival Cruise Lines. I mean, this thing was trading above where it was in February of last year with no cruises going. I mean, give me a break. What's the cash burn there? Royal Caribbean. I mean, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get slaughtered. So, you got to look at what you're in, what the investment environment is, what things have done since the March lows, and then make your own investment decisions.
So, Joel, on the back of your point of a single stock that can lose $7, $7+ a share, we are coming up into earnings season. Do fundamentals even matter in these markets, though?
They're starting to. They are starting to. These growth stock, this Cathie Wood growth at any price. There's GARP. There's growth at reasonable price. Growth at any price. I mean, valuations don't matter until they matter. And they're mad. Look at these SPACs. I can honestly tell you that I never lost a dollar in the SPAC market. I can also tell you that I never made a dollar. Because I never put one penny. I don't understand them. I don't understand blank check companies. I got to see earnings. And not everyone's going to be driving an EV. So, yeah, I think the value stocks have come back. They've saved this market, and the SPACs are getting beat. These high growth stocks are getting beat up. So as long as the value can hang in there, then you're not going to have a full fun, sellout or correction. But if people start deciding to dump the Apple, they start dumping the Microsoft, they start dumping the Amazon, there's going to be nowhere to hide in this market. And I expect these companies to have good earnings. What's interesting about Apple, it's hit an all-time high the day before earnings of last quarter, hit 145 before the print. Never traded over 142, traded down to 116, and it's battling its way back to 135. By the way, 135, huge level here in Apple. I think you got 4 out of 6 highs between 35 and 35.5. So they sold these stocks off good numbers last quarter. I think if you see them selling off again off good numbers this quarter, then that could be another reason for concern.
All right, Joel, I'll get you out of here after this one. You already called yourself out on this, but I just want a quick update on gold. Yes, last time you were on, you're pretty negative on gold. Gold has rebounded, but still has a lot of work to do. Either way, a little above 1775. What do you see for the gold chart?
Oh, geez. You know what? This is how good I am at gold. I want to sell at 1700 and buy at 1800. And that's not a good investment. I didn't puke it out under 1700. And I was looking before I left. I'm like, I sure hope this gets over 1750. It did. So that's a good sign. And now it's just get me back up to 1800. I go to 1810 and then come down to 1770 and then hang out at 1800 for a while. So, I mean, I'm sticking with it. I've had it for a while. Do I think it's going back to 2100? I hope it does. I have, a decent amount of invested in that. But it broke out of its trading range. Now 1750 support and 1800's resistance. So, trade it for what it is. And, if you start getting some crazy inflation numbers, maybe it will take off. But, just gold being gold and silver. Man, I got a ton of silver. And I was hoping Reddit was going to run this thing. But until silver gets over 30 bucks, I just look at that level, 30 bucks, 30 bucks, 30 bucks, 30 bucks. That's, I would get really bullish on silver if it could clear 30 and it's barely at 26. So I know those are some wide parameters there, but I am still fully invested and don't plan on selling my gold or silver assets anytime soon.
All right. Hey, Joel. Appreciate your comments, buddy. Always great chatting with you. Nice to have you back from your vacation. Wish I could take a vacation, but your enthusiasm sheds a little sunshine on my
I got head. A nice tan here, Corey, man. You should see me. And I was in the shade a lot, too. I was, yeah. All right,
Joel. We're out of here. I'm done talking to you. We'll chat next week. See you, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.